Justification by faith. It's an all-inspiring message. You heard Ron read from Romans 5 today. And even on Trinity Sunday, when that is the scripture, it's hard to step away from Romans 5. It is one of the most powerful messages in all of Paul's writings. So we preach on justification by faith, an inspiring message. To help us get into this, what is justification by faith? I have a sense, first of all, that so many of us here, so many of you are or were at the time you needed to be very, very hard workers. I just have a sense there's a lot of pride that goes into the work of the people of this church, either at your job or serving the church. On this Memorial Day weekend, at which we very much appreciate the music that we've had is to bring us to that day, as we honor and remember those people who served our nation in the military, and especially those who gave their lives, we know that so many of them are or were very, very hard workers. And often their work was even dangerous, but hard work. I appreciate hard work, and I consider myself in my lifetime to be a very hard worker, and one who enjoys hard work, whether it be it's working with and for the church, whether it be undertaking mission and outreach in the ministry of Jesus Christ, or working, as you all know, as I work in the West Virginia legislature, or working on the farm, or doing construction. There's so many opportunities in that hard work, especially for me when we're using our body to work. Hard work. It often seems to be a gift. Sometimes it's abusive. And sometimes it has bad elements. I recall a time when we lived in Medina County, Ohio, and across the road, there was a construction going on, and there was a big pile of dirt. So I went and asked if I could have some of the dirt. Our yard needed, my garden needed some dirt, and this was good dirt. And I wanted to fill in around the house for plants there. And they said, sure, take all you want. So I got up one morning early, and I went over and started shoveling it into my pickup truck. Drove the truck back into the yard and shoveled it out of the pickup truck. My sons woke up. They were teenagers then. I said, guys, I need you to help me go over here and get some dirt and bring it back over here and spread it around the yard. So we went over there and they were filling the truck and they were saying, Dad, why are we doing all this? I said, we need the dirt. We take the dirt back over after the truck is filled. We spread it where we need it in the garden. And I say, guys, we've got one more load. Oh, no, Dad, I got to go to work. Oh, no, Dad, I got to go to practice. Anything to get out. I said, that's not till later. Oh, yeah, I got to be there. So as it turned out, I went by myself and got the next load and brought it back. And they went in and told their mother, they can't believe that I could do three loads of that. Irony is, those two guys started a business that quite often they have to dig a ditch by hand, still today. Work, justification. There's other things that may justify you in your life besides work. It could be the way we look, the way we feel, who our friends are. There's so many things that justify us, that we feel so just when we're doing this or we're being here or being there. I wondered this morning as I went over to, I did something unusual. I went over to buy a cup of coffee this morning. So I drove over by McDonald's. There were 20 cars lined up in the drive-thru there. Wow. I said, what are those people being, what justifies all these people? Where do they get their purpose in life from? When on Sunday morning, I always say, we should have Sunday school at McDonald's. But what justifies them? Here's the question I place before us. How are you justified? What is it that justifies you? What must happen for you to be justified in life? How do you become justified with God? Do our natural gifts justify us? Does our way of life give us a sense that we are just with God? Today on Trinity Sunday, where we most often explore and celebrate the separate gifts of God, the Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, that are one and make us one, on this day, I believe it's so important to proclaim Romans 5:11 to us. That really opens up in a way the meaning of God and the Trinity. I remember as a student at Bethany College many years ago, I was a senior and a big assembly was coming up and we were all informed that we had to wear our cap and gowns. This is not graduation day, it's an assembly where we're gathered and there'll be a big speaker and then there was going to be each department in the college was supposed to name that student which was considered to be the top student in that department that year. So our professors, who we all loved very much, they came to us and told us we had to do all this and that there would be that assembly and that one of us would be elected and chosen to be that person who stood out. And several of us said at the same time, well, we thought we were justified by faith. Our professors had drilled that into us, that's the teaching of the gospel and the teaching of Paul, that your purpose and value in life isn't by the fact that you're number one or number two. You're justified in your faith. And we said, so we think as the religion department, no one should be given that special recognition. So we talked to our professors. They said, we have to do it. One of you will be set aside and given that special recognition. So we all got together and we took poster board and we made big signs, the sandwich signs, put them over our caps and gowns. It said justification by faith on the front and the back. So there we are, all except the person who was receiving that special award. So on that day, we're there, ready to process down the aisle, and we've got our signs on, and I never will forget the look of the president of the college as he looked at me. I always thought he was the one that gave me a free gift to travel my first trip to the Holy Land. They would never tell me who it was anonymous. But I said, after that look, I knew it was him, because he felt so betrayed. But we all said, that's the teaching of the Scripture. So what justifies us? Paul says, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have obtained access to the grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope and sharing the glory of God. We're justified by our faith. An oft-quoted preacher from England of the turn of the 20th century, Charles Spurgeon, gave us this sermon in 1914. The first discovery that a man is led by the Spirit of God to make before he is justified is that it is important to be justified in the sight of God. Many people do not know this. He tells the story of going into a store one evening and asking a man who's the storekeeper, "Well, do you ever go to worship?" And he said, "No, but I am quite as good as those who do." "How so?" "Well, I am a great deal better than some of them." "How so?" "Well, I never failed in business. I never duped people into a limited liability company. I never told lies. I am no thief. I am not a drunkard. And I am as honest as the days are long in the middle of June." Now that man, he had the one side of justification, the human side, the side that we all look for. But the preacher, Spurgeon, says there's another side. There's the godly side. That man is to be just to man. He sees, but he does not see that man is also to be just to God. Paul continues, "And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that sufferings produce endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given us." That's kind of a formula, and we could do a whole bunch of sermons just on that. But here's Paul's next piece. And interestingly enough, Ron, I was supposed to ask you to read 1 through 11 today, but there was a misprint in the bulletin some way. So we read 1 through 5. But here's what verse 6 says. "For while we were still weak at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly." Christ died for the ungodly. While we were still weak at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person. Though perhaps for a good reason, someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. What does this passage say? Paul's words inform us that God reaches out to those who denounce God or do not turn to God for their justification. Christ died for the ungodly. Many a time, when there's a death of a loved one in a family, I'll be there with the family and at the service or at the calling hour, someone will come to me and pull me away and would be very concerned that their loved one is not saved and is not going to heaven. And they would say, "How do we deal with that, preacher?" And I will quote Romans 5, 6. That Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for the ungodly. That's a great gift given to us. And it's about God's love. Spurgeon had another sermon. The last one was 1914. This is 1874. This is how long of a stretch this preacher lived. And he tells a story. "I've heard a soldier who had been put in prison for drunkenness. and insubordination several times, and had also been flogged, but nothing improved him. At last he was taken, because of another offense, to his commanding officer, who said to him, "My man, I have tried everything in the martial code with you, except shooting you. You've been imprisoned and whipped, but nothing has changed you. I'm determined to try something else with you. You've caused us a great deal of trouble and anxiety, and you seem resolved to do so still. I shall therefore change my plans for you, and I shall neither fine you, flog you, nor imprison you. I will see what kindness will do. And therefore, I fully and freely forgive you." The man broke down in tears, for he reckoned on a round number of lashings and had steeled himself to bear them. But when he found he was to be forgiven and set free, he said, "Sir, you shall not have to find fault with me again." Mercy won his heart. Now, sinner, in that fashion God is dealing with you. Great sinners, ungodly sinners, Christ brings love to. Church of Jesus Christ, we are united in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity. We are called to go forth knowing that we are justified by faith, not by our actions. Christ died for the ungodly. Yes, let us continue our hard work with our lives and most of all with Jesus, because we are included into the community of God's love and hope. While I profess to live by the justification of faith in Jesus, I also adhere to the words of James, Jesus' brother, whom I believe was the leader of the church in the early stages of the church. We now have a lot of evidence to show that. But here's what James said in the book of James. Be doers of the word. You've all heard that. And not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if we are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror. For they look at themselves and ongoing anyway, immediately forget what we were like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, bearing not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. So, while we are so strongly believing in justification by faith, and I hope all of you adhere to it, that's not to say then we don't work, we don't have other thoughts about ourselves, that we don't care about the way we look or the way we act. No, we are justified by faith in the love of God, so now we want to carry forth that great love of our Lord Jesus Christ. We accept Christ's love, Christ's hope, Christ's joy, and Christ's peace. And as we do, you will do the word and act in the love of Jesus for all, especially for the ungodly for whom Christ died. Amen.